In LA, you down low and easy. In the love that you kiss, we'll say Christmas. In the mass that you travel with distance, we'll leave no last.
That song, of course, was Michael Collins Piper's theme song for his radio program on RBN. And this hour is dedicated to remembering Michael Collins Piper. Who was born July 16th, 1960. He was found in room 216 of the Budget Saver Motel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, on May 30th, 2015. He quite possibly perished in what is called a dead in bed, which a lot of people with diabetes experience. And Mike was very diabetic. He had incredible pain, neuropathy, and in the last couple of years, he walked with a cane, had a very difficult, painful time getting around. I have approximately 500 pages of emails from Mike. I consider him a wonderful writer, a wonderful researcher. We had a lot of commonality. I have all of his books personally signed by him, and he had all of mine. And I still miss him. And I know that other people also miss him. Now, last week, and if you have experience or thoughts that you would like to share about Mike, feel free to call into the program at 800-313-9443. I know that a lot of people had great appreciation for him. One of the reasons that he didn't leave willingly from American Free Press, there was a situation that somebody decided that a big donor, a very, very big donor, decided that he was not going to donate any more money to American Free Press. if they retained Mike on their staff. And anyway, he left with nothing. He had worked for American Free Press right out of law school. He did go to law school for a year, and then went to work for what became ultimately the American Free Press. And anyway, he went out to Idaho, where he was going to stay with Mark Glenn. Mark Glenn had a cabin, and he took his beloved pet with him, his cat, who he used to refer to as the Hound of the Baskervilles. But he was actually a very, very large cat. And anyway, there was a fire, and so he was forced to get a different place to live. It was going to be a temporary situation. And but he wrote so many great books, and Final Judgment was one of those books. He also, we talked quite a lot about Sandy Hook, and there's a, let me share his website with you. A website still exists where one can, it's called MikePiperReport.com. I'll post that in the chat room. And he was a remarkable individual, and I still miss him, and I still feel, well, he's transitioned. I don't think he's gone, and this sounds a little strange, but I do communicate with him. And I think that he's listening. No, I know he's listening. And anyway, last week we had another very good friend of mine on, Dave Gary, and we talked about Sandy Hook, and I was thinking about some of the experiences that Mike was having. His heart, because of his diabetes, his heart was only operating on 50%. It, like many gentlemen, many men, do not necessarily take good care of themselves. It's just, I don't know whether it's a guy thing or, I don't know, but Mike had so much to give, and he was, as I mentioned, let me get back to last week. Dave was on the program. We talked about Sandy Hook, about the court case. It was just one. And Lenny Posner, whom I've also communicated with, and I've done quite a lot of work, a lot of research on Sandy Hook. And anyway, I would like to play it's a shortened version of an audio that was quite lengthy. I just cut part of it off because it was all ridicule of Mike, and anyway, let's listen to that audio file.
All right, guys, good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. This is John Friend, and you are listening to The Realist Report here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. My website is john-friend.net, and you can contact me via email at john.robert.friend@gmail.com. Be sure to visit AmericanFreePress.net, and as always, I do encourage you to subscribe to America's Most Real Newspaper. I'd also encourage you to subscribe to The Barnes Review, the bi-monthly historical review magazine affiliated with American Free Press. Visit barnesreview.org for more information. And yesterday I had an excellent and informative discussion with Jason Erb, host of Exposing Faux Capitalism on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. Be sure to check out that program if you have not already. And just a reminder, I do post all of these radio programs directly on my website shortly after they are over with. And of course, you can download all past editions of The Realist Report on my old TalkShoe page. And there is a link directly to my old TalkShoe page on the bottom right-hand side of john-friend.net. So be sure to check that out if you have not already. All right, with that said, I'd like to introduce my special guest today. Dr. Jim Fetzer is the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He's one of the leading researchers and students of the JFK assassination, and he has also taken a keen interest in the alleged Sandy Hook shooting, which took place roughly 1 year ago. Dr. Fetzer, how are you this morning?
Oh, just terrific, but you might want to explain why the debate that everyone was expecting would take place is not going to happen here today.
Yeah, I was going to get into that, yeah. This was supposed to be a debate show about Sandy Hook between Dr. Jim Fetzer and Michael Collins Piper, a writer for American Free Press and an author who's written a number of different books. And Mike sent us an email last night saying that he was, I didn't read the entire email, but he was basically backing out of the program this morning. And I believe he wasn't feeling too well. He had some health issues. So he wanted to perhaps reschedule. And quite frankly, I'm not surprised that he backed down from this debate. Dr. Fetzer, do you have any comments on Mike's decision to not join us this morning?
Well, he may have done some research.
Okay. Later on that day, Mike went to the hospital because he was incredibly ill. Mike never backed down from anything. If he had not been so incredibly ill, he would have been there. And as I said, this was part of a longer audio file, but that for them to ridicule somebody who went to the hospital and was sick is beyond belief. And I'm reading some of the things in the chat room. Mike said that Sandy Hook would probably cause a lot of issues for American Free Press. We talked a lot about Sandy Hook, and he said that particular event, and he believed it happened, and he knew it would cause an issue, but he never backed down, Mr. Fetzer. He had done his research, and he would have debated you had he not been so near death. And for them to ridicule Mike was just beyond the pale. I'm shaking. I'm so upset. Anyway, if you have comments or memories that you would like to share about Mike and about his influence on your belief, feel free to call 800-313-9443. And keep in mind that the first reports out on Sandy Hook came within 12 hours of the event. You cannot come out and say that something is a false flag or that it was, you know, a FEMA event or whatever they are attempting to call it. Children died. 20 children and 6 adults. I have researched this topic for hours and hours and hours. And I put my reputation as a truth teller on the line. I do not care about consensus thinking. I care about the truth. And Dave Gahari and others also care about the truth. All right, let's take John in California. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. I talked to you and Dave last week about Sandy Hook, and I don't want to expound on that now, but your thing on Mike Collins Piper. Real quick, let me tell you, you had Michael Walsh on, and I only heard a little bit. I had to get off. Thank you very much. I believe he's also associated with writings on the Barnes Review, too.
Right.
I think that's correct, but he was a welcome guest you had. Getting back to Michael Collins Piper, I've read his books, just about everything you've written from his onset, and when he wrote for The Spotlight and American Free Press, and he did a wonderful job, and when he had his Eusebius radio show on Republic, and I would get in and listen to him all the time, and I could call every other night when he was on. It was, good to talk to him, had some good conversations. There's one book he wrote that was a fictional account, but I enjoyed it, and I pulled it on Reddit just not too long ago. It's called My First Days in the White House. And his idea about writing that was just where they talked about some patriotic people after what I think it was the end of the George W. Bush years, was ready to go to war, and some patriotic people in the military stopped it, and they kind of, when you talk about if something would turn around, he wrote it as if it did happen, even though it was fictional, but it was something great to show, just, you know, that it can happen. Now, in this day and age, and I think this was 8 or 10 years ago when he wrote the book, but when he, after reading, and he said, yeah, that's, it's a refreshing experience, and what happened was he was asked to be the interim president until the next election by some of the patriots that stopped the war from happening, in a nutshell. And I don't know if you've ever seen the book or read it. I enjoyed it, and like I said, I just recently read it. Now, after that, you close it, and then you look at what's happening today. Well, you know, you're back to the same old thing, but I think it's something still that what he wrote.
Folks, we're living in a world of which we've never perceived.
Could you hang on? Hang on just a moment.
Sure, I'll hang on.
We're in a break. Be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It's not
with John in California. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, Deanna, well, I told you about the book. Did you ever have a chance to read it, My First Days in the White House?
Yes, I believe I did.
Yeah, it was quite a different take that Michael wrote in between
right.
all his other books, but I thought it was something refreshing to read that things possibly like that can happen.
Right.
But yes. like I said, I was able to converse with him when he had a show and writings and that, and I'm sorry what I appreciate the information about his death. I knew he was in Idaho. I thought he was staying with Mark Glennon and his family and on their ranch. But I didn't know he was in a motel.
I knew he was
ill. I didn't know to what extent.
He was staying with Mark and his family. He took his cat with him. He loved the family life. He loved being with the children. It was a wonderful situation for him, although he had been in you know, on the East Coast for so long. It was such a different kind of a location and environment. And there was an unexpected fire in the cabin that he was staying at, which forced him to go to the motel. It was to be temporary until they fixed it. And, he perished, and I believe it was the night before they found him, because motels usually have housekeepers every day, and they found him on the 30th of May. And so I believe that he perished during the night of the 29th of May in 2015 and in that motel. And as I said, he had incredible heart issues, and he was very sick, and he never complained. He never sought pity of any kind, and when he told Fetzer and John Friend that he would not be able to be on the radio program, he just said he had some health issues. Well, his heart was up. He had heart surgery, for Pete's sake, to try and get his heart working. And he to hear him talk about it, he didn't talk about it. He wasn't a complainer. There were times when he missed his program. He wasn't drinking. He never drank before his program. He did drink, but never before his program. He was just incredibly ill for a long time, and he never complained. He never came on his program and talked about his health issues. He was not a complainer. He was a researcher, and his research was probably more important to him than his health. His books, he loved his books. They were stacked up in his apartment. He knew where each and every one of them was. He loved his books. We had that in common, as well as other things in common that we talked about. And he always used to say that his cat had relatives in the Chicago area. His they were cousins. He said they were his cat's cousins. And he wasn't complaining. He legitimately had some severe problems. So, your thoughts?
Well, that, like I said, you know, it's too bad. He's too young to go like that. And, you know, anybody like that, it seems like you've got these people working great for our cause and that, and then they they're in health problems, or they suddenly die or something. We, you know, all the people we've lost that have worked, or, you know, and it's just a sad thing. I will say this, and I've never said this before to anybody, that he was in Idaho, and I guess he had an illness. I received a letter, I can't remember who it was from, asking help on his point, and it wasn't just a letter, but it was like one of those, you know, colored, kind of a multicolored little brochure about needed help and that, and then unfortunately, that whoever set this up was claiming that people from American Free Press, it was according to the founder, Willis Carter, and his wife, Elizabeth, were against him, trying to drive him away. And like I said, I don't know who did it, you know, and that's as far as I went. I've never said any more, wrote to American Free Press. They knew anything about it. I just left it alone. And then shortly after that, yeah, he died, or allegedly said he passed away.
Right.
And that's all I have to say about that. But like I said,
I have his books.
I can continually look at them anytime I want. You know, it's
yes.
Good to know that.
Willis was very supportive of Mike, and Willis unfortunately got sick, and it was just a bad situation. But he was forced out because of his insistence that Sandy Hook had occurred. We both agreed on this, and his removal from American Free Press with no severance, with the health care insurance gone, with all the he had been with them for 36 years, 35 years, and at the end it was worth nothing. And it was his writing, in my opinion, that kept American Free Press going. He was producing book after book after book after book that were all timely, well-researched, wonderful books. He did all that, and we talked about corporations with Mike Walsh, and this is what happened to Mike after all that dedication. He was in the way. The truth,
like,
was
you said,
in the way.
There was some, you said, there was a donor that didn't like what, and I'm sorry,
right,
about that too. You're wondering if, because there's so few of these truthful publications left, you something. Somebody's trying to throw a false flag or a monkey wrench in the works to bring it down, and they find something. I don't know. It's hard to fathom. You always worry about that. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? They pitting somebody, you know, against somebody else, or a paper, you know, like I said. But I guess all we can do is, Deanna, just keep going on, and just with who's continuing to keep it going, whatever.
Indeed.
We're lucky. Praise us for you too.
We just all do the best we can with what we with what we have been given.
Anyway, so, I'll let you go. Thanks again for a great show.
Thank you. Okay, let's take Ed in Utah. Ed, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Deanna, I'm very glad you're having this show. To honor Michael Collins Piper, the late Michael Piper. I want to say that a lot of us were inspired by him. I sort of became, for a while there, a volunteer promoter of his books, because I was enamored with the fact that here he comes along, barely 2 years of age, 3 years of age when the JFK assassination happened, and he said that was in his favor, Deanna, that he was able to come along kind of under the radar, with all the bickering and the 800 books written about the assassination, and he kind of came along, and as several people said, including, I believe, Mark Lane, that Mr. Piper pinned the tail on the donkey. And he did, indeed. And in a way, if you look, he sort of silenced. He silenced the JFK book industry. They had nothing more to say, really. Posner was trying to come out with Case Closed, a flop of a book, to anybody who's educated on that. So I just wanted to say that his books in general, as you have stated, Deanna, were fabulous. They were groundbreaking. But Final Judgment was his signature book. And he cracked the John F. Kennedy case. He picked up on the work of Mark Lane, another confidant and friend of his at Spotlight, American Free Press. And unless you want to say something in conjunction with that, Deanna, I want to say something about Mr. Fetzer.
Okay.
Well, here's what I want to say. Mr. Fetzer, while he brings a lot of, you know, facts to the table, I want to tell you, you really got, not you, him, when you played him mocking a sick man. And he had to know he was sick. Mr. Piper, like you said, informed him that he had health matters. And for him to go on and let mockery happen, like you said, with his background of writing, there was a whole, what a disrespectful standpoint. Well, I want to tell you about an engagement I had with Mr. Fetzer. And this went out on 50,000 watts, KOA. He was a host there. And I want to tell people that put a lot of stock in him. I've always been suspicious of Mr. Fetzer after this call I had. He was a guest, and I called in KOA Denver 850 on the AM dial, reaching some upwards of 30 states. And I was quoting American Free Press heavily in my call. And that's the guts of it. It doesn't matter what we were talking about. It was 9/11. But the point is, I heavily referenced American Free Press, and he didn't disagree. He didn't say anything, though. And the next caller had come up and said something about the American Free Press is a Nazi organ and all this, you know, the usual stuff from the uninitiated. To which he said, I could hear it in his voice. He goes, I just want you to know I get my facts. This is Mr. Fetzer saying, I get my facts from where I get my facts. I source it myself, and I don't get my material from the American Free Press. Deanna, right there, that told me he was on a mission. Like Chris Bolin, to take down writers and people in the American Free Press. Fetzer and Bolin owe their knowledge, or the fact that people know about them. They owe their public persona to the American Free Press. And as you said, Mr. Piper had a big role in building up the American Free Press. So for these two, Johnny-come-latelys, to come along, and then when I heard your statement there, or your playback there of him mocking Michael Piper, that, just like with you, Deanna, got my goat. Even though I do want to see a larger debate, if you will, or even further to your show a couple weeks back on Sandy Hook, I'm largely in agreement with what you're saying there. There were a couple things, you know, I would just throw in about the how they use it for gun control or use it for other agendas. Any event, real or false flag. That's all I'll say at that point on that. But do you get what I'm saying here about Mr. Fetzer, or do you think my call with him was significant?
I do. And the other thing, Mike sent Mr. Fetzer a copy of Final Judgment that Mr. Fetzer totally ignored, did not even bother to acknowledge that he had received it. And if you will note in Fetzer's work, whether it's on JFK, whatever it's on, it is not his research. It is always a compilation of other people's work.
Right.
The book, quote unquote, that he wrote, that he compiled about Sandy Hook was a compilation of some of the most ludicrous claims and ideas. I went through that book. I had a PDF of it. I went through that book, and it was written by people who had used old laws that did not relate to the situation, things that had been disproven time and again. Fetzer, offered to debate me. He wanted to debate me. I am not a contentious individual. I am very quiet. I don't, my throat chakra is, I just don't argue, okay? I'm just not an arguer. And, my friend Mark Elsis, approached Fetzer and said, I would be happy to host a debate, and here are the parameters. You each read each other's book. You select 25 questions from the book that the author can answer 20. You will have a specific time in which to answer those questions. And Fetzer said, no, that's too structured. Fetzer likes to monopolize and control a conversation. He uses anger and emotion and not reason and ration. And he said, no, it's too structured. I'm not going to do that. And so I was totally open for that, and he declined. I also offered to have him on my program to explain his views. I had done a critique on Sophia Smallstorm's, she did a film about Sandy Hook. And I began by doing a critique on that, and then I decided I'm going to write a book. And so that's where I went with it. But, no, Mike was a researcher. He did not take or borrow crazy claims from other people and pile them together in a book. And,
right.
I wrote an article at screeningsandyhook.net, which talks about some of the things that were in Fetzer's compilation of other people's work and why it was censored on Amazon. And, of course, one of the big reasons that it was censored was because he had taken an entire website from someone he just borrowed an entire website and put it in the appendix of his book. And another researcher, friend, who's done fabulous, fabulous research. Oh my gosh, there are so many people who have actually done the research. But anyway, I wrote several articles at screeningsandyhook.net, explaining why the book was censored. He received a notification, which he printed on his website, which he provided on his website, stating the reason that his book was withdrawn from Amazon, stating it was censorship issues, which he claimed, oh, I don't know why they took my book off. I guess it was because it was true, and they just, it doesn't wash. Okay,
right.
It just doesn't wash. And so,
right, and people.
Go ahead.
Well, people should also recall, if they've forgotten, Mr. Fetzer came out of nowhere. He came out from the Minnesota University when Paul Wellstone, a legitimate issue, I do believe was assassinated, Senator Paul Wellstone. And he had some interesting information he was sharing about the death of Paul Wellstone. That was his step in, his foot in the door to the Patriot community. And since that time, then he quickly branched over to 9/11. And I believe it was the summer of 03 when I called him, and not really debated him, just say my point to the host, kind of, and he without comment. It was the following caller that brought up American Free Press as a Nazi organ, to which he, just very disparagingly in his voice, put down American Free Press. Now, Deanna, that was at a time when American Free Press and people like you writing for Barnes Review were on all four cylinders, all six cylinders, eight cylinders, putting out the stuff on what was going on in the country, the takedown and the PNAC and the whole bit. So what was he up to is what I'm asking here. Why would you disparage the hub of the patriot community, American Free Press, which it definitely was at that time. Now it's RBN. And, but right. American Free Press is still important. Yeah, it's still important, even without Piper, because of Dave Gaharie and, your occasional writing. I think you still submit to Barnes Review, don't you?
You know, I have a lot of personal things going on in my life right now, and so, I haven't done a lot of writing recently. I've written my books are I stand behind my books and the things that I have written, and I believe that that people should do their own research. I don't believe that they should borrow other people's research, and I believe that books should have citations where where the readers
right.
can go and see where they've gotten the information, that they can go and check out that information to see if they come up with the same conclusions. And when I was talking with somebody about Mr. Fetzer, and he had these parameters of whether a person was a real true patriot. And he gave a list. I think it was a 10-point list. And he said, if you can't agree to these 10 points, then you're not a true patriot. And I pointed out that, Mr. Fetzer, did not agree with number 10. And the gentleman was, kind of shocked. And, but these two, well, it actually was John Friend that did this list. And I said, well, John, you're missing the point here. You're categorizing Mr. Fetzer, and you're leaving some points out here that you say should make a good patriot, and he's missing out on number 10 here. And John was, I think, embarrassed, and he said, oh. And yet they still managed to get together and come out against Mike Piper when he was so incredibly ill. And as far as Fetzer being an editor, no, he just put the stuff in a book. A compiler and an editor are two different things. An editor goes through a text line by line, and they make corrections. A compiler just takes information from God only knows, we'll say God. God only knows where this information came from. Unnamed people who use fake names, and just compiles things. Simply because it's out there and it seems to support their view of an event. That is not research, I'm sorry. It just it isn't research.
One thing I'll say to all of this, Deanna, the words of Piper live on today. You know, how he always ended his lines, and so it was. Well, and so it is. Some of these things do have to be resolved, like, for example, a few things I do wonder about, with Sandy Hook. Like, I was just stunned when it came from you that indeed the school was demolished. What year did that happen?
A year after the event. Now,
Mr. Piper was still alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was demolished. Would you send your children to a school where 26 people were slaughtered? I wouldn't. Would you like to live in John Wayne Gacy's house? I wouldn't.
Right. Well,
would you like to live?
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
I feel passionate.
I understand, Deanna. The like they didn't tear down Columbine, but that was the,
they refurbished that area. They refurbished the library.
Yeah. Right, right. Again, I go by the fact that they use the event, regardless, you know, whether it be to push, silence or gun control or whatever. Like, when you made the comment, the counterpoint to somebody that, look at gun sales went through the roof afterward, and they did. I look at that, again, whoever was involved, I look at that as the backfiring of their plan, which happens, from time to time. Here's my problem. Then you come to Las Vegas, and I did kind of my own research. I did a little bit like you, Mr. Piper, do. I talked to people, some that worked at the hotel, and they're in at Bally's or wherever they said it happened. Mm-hmm. That I do believe, and they were hearing gunshots, all right, from credible witnesses. But the video cams from people's cameras being marched, people that were just staying at the hotel. That was some kind of both real and a bit staged. Like, it seems like they did murder somebody. I saw what looked like a very real body on the street there by two Metro cars, Metro being the Metro police there. So it's like these events, and then Marjorie Stone, they seem to happen when they want to happen. That's I'm not defending those that are dismissing all of the arguments on Sandy Hook. I'm saying that they use these events, and Sandy Hook was one. They did try, and ironically, it was Ted Cruz that tabled it, thankfully, in the U.S. Senate when they had that massive gun bill March of 2013 to bring about gun control. Cruz, for his political reasons, did put the kibosh on it, and I'm glad of that. But nevertheless, I do see all these events as a moving a program to as a pogrom. But against America.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too, stay over and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, we are back, and I just want to make one comment, and then I want to move on to the next caller. If they're going to have a FEMA drill, they are not going to have it in an elementary school. If a FEMA drill is a very traumatic experience with high school students, do we really think that parents would permit, and whenever there's a FEMA drill, parents has to give permission. Do you really think any parent in their right mind would expose their kindergarten student to a FEMA drill where people with guns came in and pretended to shoot them? I think not. So that, anyway.
You make a powerful point there, Deanna. And can I make one last thing real quick on Mr. Piper?
Yes, yes.
You know, since my youth, I was in elementary school, grammar, when JFK was assassinated. Not a day went by, practically, all my life, when there was talk of the assassination, who did it, the CIA, the mafia, all this and that. How fast was the motorcade going? The whole bit. And yet, even Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, when he reignited interest with the youth, it wasn't long after when Michael Collins Piper cracked the case with Final Judgment. Then all of a sudden, no more interest in it. Did you make that same observation?
Yes, and when Mark Elsis was talking to Mr. Fetzer about doing the debate, the conversation ended with Fetzer saying, "Look, I love Israel," and Mark said, "Oh, well, that just ended our conversation." So, Ed, thank you for your phone call.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you. All right, let's take Pat in Georgia. Pat, welcome.
Hi. Hey, Deanna. Pat Shannon again. We haven't talked since last Saturday, but I enjoyed your emails.
Good.
I think you ought to get understand. You know, I knew Mike longer than most of you and your listeners. We worked together mm-hmm. at AFP for many, many years, and we had great, great conversations, especially private on Saturdays when I would go into the office at AFP. Mm-hmm. But when this confrontation came up with, you know, Fetzer and Piper and doing a debate on radio, boy, was I ready to tune into that. Because both Dave Gaharry and I had not only been on the side of the Sandy hoax, but also the Boston Marathon hoax. And mm-hmm. But we don't need to go into that right now. The point I want to make with you now, because I know you're short of time, but I think you were duped, because on Tuesday was when the debate was supposed to take place, and Mike had to go into the hospital, and as you so tearfully announced, he had a heart operation. But what you don't know, as most of us at AFP laughed at, he was back to work on Thursday.
That's so right.
I think you were about this whole situation, and I can't imagine. I can't blame you.
No,
for being,
I knew that he was back.
You don't have the facts. Go ahead.
I knew that he was back to work on Thursday because that was how dedicated he was. He ignored his own physical needs to take care of.
That's how funny your whole situation is, that he was dedicated, but he came back after 2 days for a heart operation. Boy, are you
no,
dumb.
No, he didn't have the heart operation. He went to the hospital. He had the heart operation later. Okay? And I'm not dumb. Thank you for your phone call. Take care, listeners. And Mike, here's to you, buddy. I miss you.